back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, along with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going well, you know, just another week, so to speak, but we have a lot of good stuff to talk about tonight, as in the Stanley Cup playoffs have begun, and we already have a lot to talk about a lot of things, so we will give you the rundown through each and every series, and then progress you as we think that things will unfold throughout the playoffs, deep into May and or I think early June.
Yeah, like middle of June.
Yeah. But you know, we're in the midst of the first round right here. On night two? I guess technically night three because they started.
Technically night three.
So but yeah, I mean, I guess we can just kind of jump right into it, Dave, if you want. Going into the East, we have again, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to decide on which one I want to talk about first, I guess. Well, I guess we'll start from the top on my NHL app on my iPad, but we'll go right to the number one seed, the President's Trophy winning Boston Bruins against the wild card 2 seed in the East, the Florida Panthers. Boston leading 1-0 after a 3-1 lead the other night in game one, or 3-1 win, sorry, in game one. Leading the series again 1-0, with game two actually being right now.
It just got underway like maybe a half an hour ago.
Yeah, it started at 7:30. So that game is obviously in the midst of things. But Dave, I mean, you pretty much have the current President's Trophy winning team against the former. Some may say fraudulent President's Trophy winning team in the Florida
Mickey
Panthers.
Mickey Mouse organization.
Yeah, I mean, as we know, they won the President's Trophy last season, came into the playoffs, had a good first round, and then they met the Tampa Bay Lightning for the Battle of Florida and just got completely run out of the building. So, just my quick thoughts here. It pains me to see another Boston team do well. I think Boston has got this one in, I'll say, five. Based off of last night, I mean, it wasn't a blowout, but Boston's just got everything firing on all cylinders. They have had everything firing on all cylinders. But, you know, I mean, you never know. So, but I think, again, they're going to kind of semi-easily handle the Florida Panthers in this first round and take it in five games.
Yeah, I mean, I too agree with you. I have the Boston Bruins in five games over the Florida Panthers. Alex Lyons, you know, he's a good feel-good story this year. But, you know all Alex Lyon is? He is this year's Hamburglar, this year's Andrew Hammond, a career minor league goalie who has not been very good at the NHL, gets called up due to injury circumstance, and goes on a heater. He's just like Michael Layton, Andrew Hammond, etc. The fairy tale is going to run out. The Boston Bruins have the edge in every literal position. Their forwards, their defensemen, and both of their goalies are better than anything that Florida has. Yes, Florida does have Matthew Tkachuk and Alex Barkov and Sam Reinhart, but okay, Boston says, I'll see you those three, and I'll literally give you my whole entire top nine. It's not even close. And I mean, the Bruins have this year's arguably Vezina winner in Linus Ullmark in net, going up against a career AHL goalie, and backing the career minor leaguer up is Sergei Bobrovsky, who has had one of his bad years, because we know he is kind of hot and cold every other year. So Florida's kind of screwed. They might squeak out one game. Like, they might win game three or win game four down in South Florida in front of their empty seats in their arena. But they don't stand a chance. I will be flabbergasted. There's a nice vocab word for you. Flabbergasted.
Good word. Good word.
If the Florida Panthers make this series any closer than what I think it's going to be, but Bruins in five. And before we move on to address the other series, I just want to make a note. Normally, yes, we are a Philadelphia Flyers podcast, but since, as we all know, they're not in the playoffs this year, no Flyers talk this evening. You are getting Matt Schrodinger's complete thoughts on how, like you said, Matt, that we think the 2023 Stanley Cup playoffs will play out. So with that, we can move on to our next Eastern Conference series. You have the number two and number three seeds in the Atlantic Division, the Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. Currently, Tampa Bay is up 1-0 in this series.
Oh, my God.
After scoring a touchdown last evening, Tuesday evening, against Toronto, a game in which Toronto kind of came out flat-footed, not ready to play, a lot of bad penalties or non-calls, depending on the hit made by Jake McCabe. But then you also have the really nasty elbow that Michael Bunting put on Eric Chernak, and to which earned him a 3-game suspension, which kind of goes to show you that the NHL officials really do have it out for Michael Bunting, because a 3-game suspension in the playoffs, regular season, you're looking at 5+ games. So they really do not like Michael Bunting. But yeah, like I said, Tampa won game one 7-3, and they just outclassed Toronto in every metric possible. However, Matt, I still have the Toronto Maple Leafs winning this series in 7 games. Now, I could be holding on to hope and living on a prayer here, but I just think all of the hockey that Tampa Bay has played the past 3 years, going to the Cup Final the past 3 years in a row, all those shortened off seasons and their age will catch up to them. However, if the Tampa Bay Lightning team that showed up last night and the team of the Toronto Maple Leafs that showed up last night stays in this series, Tampa's going to sweep. So I'm having faith in Toronto that they're going to show up and they're going to make this series interesting, because this is a rematch of last year's first round, to which it went 7 games. This is Toronto's MO. They always lose in the first round in 7 games. But this year, I think they get it done. I think they're going to win in 7. It would be nice. But also, that being said, it could end up in a Tampa Bay sweep if we saw what happened last night. But I'm going with my official pick for the third time. Toronto in 7.
I don't even know what to say here. I think I just want to embrace the mentality that Charlie O'Connor has from Twitter that I saw the other night. I guess it was last night when their first game was. But he said he was rooting for the funniest possible outcome. And, I mean, boy, did we get that last night where – The Leafs just come out flat-footed. They get scored on by the Lightning's first line, like just over a minute into the, or fourth line, sorry, just over a minute into the game. Then they they just look completely discombobulated in all three zones on the ice. I was like, I went into it and I texted a couple of my other buddies and I'm like, what do you guys think about the Leafs? I'm like, do you think they collapse again, or do you think that they make it out? And like, they're both like, collapse. And I'm like, I'm kind of on the fence. And then the first period happened and I'm like, screw it, collapse. Like,
but they did make the game interesting before Tampa Bay kind of step on their throat.
But it's like, can you really I mean, I guess you can technically, but it's like, can you really have a worse first game in your playoffs where it's like you have like, I mean, again, they gave up the third goal with just over 2 seconds left in the first period. That's a dagger right there. Then, I mean, you finally get on the board, but then a guy like Michael Bunting takes that. It was a weird play, but it was, I think it was deemed, it was obviously deemed a five minute.
He elbowed Chernak in the
game. Yeah. And it sounds like there's going to be some retribution being looked for in the next game. I think that Tanner Janot might be in the lineup for Tampa Bay. So that'll be interesting to see.
I think Jake McCabe's going to get fed some fists to his face.
Yeah. No, but I think it's like, it's every year. It's like the Maple Leafs are like, all right, like, we should just say screw it and give them a trophy if they make it out of the first round. Like, because it's embarrassing, I think, where it's like they made it to game seven last season and they lose. And then they put out a statement about like, oh, we're proud of ourselves, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, proud of what? You got to game seven again and lost. You didn't make it any further. You haven't made it any further than you did in the past 20 plus years. Like,
the last time they made it to the second round was 2004.
Mm-hmm. And they lost to the Flyers.
In the second round. Yep.
So it's like, and this is such a pivotal year for this franchise as well, because it's like, you have Dubas with his job on the line. So he's
Kyle Keefe's, their head coach, Sheldon Keefe's job's up on the line too. And they might shake up the roster. There's a lot of players where they're going, you know what? If this ain't working, we're going to make some moves.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, the Lightning really have nothing to lose in the fact that, again, they've been a contender for the past 5-plus years now. They have their Stanley Cups. They're still technically in the mix because obviously they're in the playoffs. It's like they can honestly just, again, make Toronto more of a laughingstock around the hockey world, where it's like even if they do win in seven games, it's like, all right, like, same thing as last year, but it's just laughable about Toronto. Like, this is just, again, it's like Groundhog Day up there, where I don't know if I would rather, like, if this is the Flyers, I think I would just, again, be fine with not making the playoffs so that this isn't a storyline every single year where it's like, will they make it past the first round? And then it's like, you're up by a game or two and then you just fall apart and you lose. And it's like, oh, we're proud of our effort. We made it far, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you made it to the seventh game of the first round. Like, you didn't make it to squat. Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know. Again, I'm still honestly torn, but it's just, again, like, I'm just rooting for complete chaos and just fun in this series. Because it's like, again, would it be cool for them to make it past the second round? Yeah. But then if they do that, then they most likely run into a buzzsaw in the Bruins. So it's just, I don't know. It's just like they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't, so to speak, because you either run into a complete powerhouse or you're once again back to where you started from a year ago, where you're just getting laughed at by everyone and your team is in shambles because you're spending half your salary cap on what, three guys?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. But maybe things, again, have to get worse for them before they have to get better. But, yeah, I mean, I want to say Tampa, I want to say Toronto in seven, but I think it's going to be Tampa in seven.
Okay.
So I have to go with that.
The pick is in.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's, again, I can't, like, I'm sitting there watching the game last night. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me! Like, this is how you come out of, like, for a game one, like, and then, like, I turned it off after it was like 3-1 or 4-2 when Tampa was on their 5-minute power play, and then I was like, yeah, this game's over. And then, like, one of my friends texted me and he's like, it's 7-3. I'm like, wow. So
yep.
Oof. But no, I mean, moving on to our next series in the East here, we have the first seed in the Metro Division against the first wild card, also in the Metro Division, the Carolina Hurricanes against the New York Islanders. Carolina took game one, I believe 2-1, yes, the other night. And game two is also, again, currently in progress in Carolina. But this is a series where it's like, I'm a big hockey guy, but it's like, I'm just kind of like, meh, like, not too interesting to me because I don't really like the Islanders because they just play boring hockey. Carolina's been a little, I mean, they've definitely been a good team these past few years, but they've also, they lost, I'm blanking on his name, not Svechnikov.
They didn't lose Svechnikov. He's out.
Yeah. Okay. So I was right. But it's like, I keep forgetting that Brent Burns is on the Carolina Hurricanes. Like, that's still weird to me. It's still very foreign. Yeah, they have Gost as Bear. But, I mean, I think this could go – I won't say it would go the distance, but I could see the Islanders taking them to six games. But I think Carolina comes out on top. I'd have to say five or six games here for Carolina.
I'm going Carolina in seven here. I think – it's going to be a really, really chippy, drawn out, hard fought series with excellent goaltending on both sides. But I just think Carolina has that edge and skill that's going to get them over the top. And game seven could very well go to overtime in this series. I would not be shocked whatsoever. But I just think the way these two teams are built, I think Carolina is the better team. But just I've seen the way the Islanders play in the playoffs every year, and they always seem to make every series they're involved in go six or seven games, whether they win or they lose. Yeah. So I think this does go seven. It's an interesting series, but at the end of the day, Carolina wins in seven. Moving on to our last first-round matchup in the Eastern Conference, the Battle of the Hudson, as they call it, the second Metro-seeded New Jersey Devils versus the third Metro-seeded New York Rangers. A game and a series in which the Rangers came out, they came to the Rock in a lovely, beautiful city of Newark, New Jersey, and they absolutely took the Devils to town.
Yeah.
A 5-1 opening game one win yesterday evening, Tuesday. A game in which the Devils were on pace to get shut out until Hughes, not Quinn.
Jack.
Jack Hughes, yeah. The middle. Or is Jack the younger one?
I'm not sure. I don't really pay attention to them. I think Jack is probably the middle, because isn't Quinn the youngest?
No, Quinn Hughes is in Vancouver. Now, hold on, I'll pull it up here.
Isn't Luke Hughes on the Devils now too?
Yes, it's Luke. Yeah, it's Quinn, Jack, and Luke. Luke is the youngest brother, the biggest of all three. He's the other defenseman, but Jack Hughes was awarded a penalty shot with like 3 minutes to go, and he scored a really sick goal on Shesterkin. But other than that, it was a 5-1 dominating win by the Rangers.
Yeah.
To me, this is a series where the Rangers have more skill, like high-end elite skill than the Devils do currently. I also like the Rangers' goaltending a lot better than I like the Devils' goaltending. I'm not really sold on Vitek Vanacek and net for the Devils, and Mackenzie Blackwood also sucks. Whereas the Rangers have Shesterkin, who's probably going to be nominated up for the Vezina with, you know, Linus Omark and, of course, Winnipeg Jets goaltender Connor Hellebuck. So I give this to the NYR in the Battle of the Hudson. I'm saying the Rangers, they win in six games, Mastro.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Devils just looked discombobulated at points last night, and the Rangers scored a goal at one point that made it 3-1. That goal got waved off, and then
it was 3-0. It was 3-0.
Oh yeah. And then the Rangers scored again to like a goal that counted about like 2-3 minutes later. And I was like, well, it didn't really make a difference. So I mean, I think the Rangers definitely have more on the skill side of things, and you know, the Devils are. I mean, if both teams could lose, that'd be great. But
yeah, right.
objectively,
unfortunately, speaking, someone has to win.
Yeah. Objectively speaking, I do agree that the Rangers are probably going to take this one in six games. So I feel like they just have more skill and I think more experience as well with guys that have been in the playoffs, especially with Kane. But I mean, yeah, I think they kind of have the edge on everything skill wise. So I'm definitely seeing them taking it in six.
Yeah, we're so with that we can move on to now. We're going on the fly here. We're calling an audible. Mm-hmm. Do you want to keep on with our Eastern Conference predictions as to who we think will advance in the semifinals and the conference final to the cup final? Or do we want to go out west and cover the first round matchups out west and then kind of go through all the semifinal and conference final and cup final matchups here?
I think it's best just to stick with the East for now so then we can kind of get everything advanced on both, like either side before we kind of get things
go to the cup final at the end?
Yeah.
Perfect. Yep. Okay.
So, all
right. Well, with that,
I know, right? Yeah, you go ahead. Right now, you have in the semifinal for the East, you have the Bruins against the Maple Leafs, correct? Yes.
And I have the Boston Bruins winning in seven games.
Okay.
So I have Toronto making it to the second round, but then they're going to face their old pal in the big bad Bruins, and they're going to lose in seven.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the Bruins against the Lightning. I think that, I would say the Bruins in six in that one. I think Tampa would give them a good run for their money, but Boston just, again, is that good. So I'm going to go Boston in six games over the Lightning to make it on to the conference finals.
Excellent. And then moving on to our other semifinal matchup out East, we both have Carolina taking on the New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. I have the Rangers taking this in seven games. I think this is a back-and-forth series. Both teams are built very similarly. Excellent goaltending, great defense, elite high-end talent on the offense with the Rangers having this slight hand there. But Rangers in seven over Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to agree with that. I think that they're both very good teams with good goalies, good kind of like goalie-out players where, again, good all around for the most part, what I'm trying to say. I think that can, like, again, like you said, just be a back and forth series and, you know, kind of last goal wins, so to speak. And that can definitely go the distance of even a game seven overtime.
Mm-hmm. So then that sets up our Eastern Conference final, where we both have the Boston Bruins taking on the New York Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, I'll let you go here first on your thoughts.
Oh, this is a tough one. I feel like if there's any team in the East that's going to give the Bruins the best run for their money, it's definitely the Rangers.
Agreed.
But I feel like even in that sense, it's going to be just a slugfest at that point where I think it's going to go seven. But I just think, again, like with both teams having as much talent as they do, I'm going to make the bold choice here and say that the Rangers take the Eastern Conference Championship in seven games.
Whoa. All right. Well, I hear you on the slugfest. I think the first four games of this series will be a slugfest and it will be tied 2-2 after four. But at the end of the day, the Boston Bruins will win games five and game six to advance to the Stanley Cup final. I just think, well, the Bruins have so much of that elite high-end skill as the Rangers do. The Bruins also have that Bruin factor. They mm-hmm. have that meanness, that pain in the assness that the Rangers don't have. And I think having that physical, just dickhead energy edge, for some colorful language there, gets them over the top. So I have the Boston Bruins advancing out of the East to represent the Eastern Conference in the 2023 Stanley Cup final.
Gotcha.
So with that, we can shift time zones, go out to the Western Conference here. We'll start off with our first Western Conference matchup. The number one seeded in the Central Division, Colorado Avalanche, hosting the number one wild card, Seattle Kraken. A game in which did not go, game one, did not go in Colorado Avalanche's, the defending Stanley Cup champions' favor last night, a 3-1 loss at the hands of the at the hands of the Kraken there. A game in which ex-Av Philip Grubauer, who was not the best goalie when he was with the Colorado Avalanche, really stymied his old team and shut them down. And the Avs didn't really have any answer for him. But going forward, I think they're going to solve their old pal in Grubauer. And I have faith in the Colorado Avalanche, at the end of the day, overcoming the Dave Hacksaw-led Seattle Kraken in six games.
Yeah, I think Seattle's just too new to the game, so to speak. I mean, also kind of literally, they've only been in the league for what now,
three years? This is their second year.
Second year, yeah, I was going to say. And I mean, again, it's great that they are an expansion team and they have made it to the playoffs. Like, again, they don't ask how, they ask how many. But making it to the playoffs as an expansion team in your second season is great as far as I'm concerned. But again, I mean, they have, as a team, I know as individuals on the team, they may have some good playoff experience combined, so to speak. But as a franchise, they don't have any of that under their belt. So this is their first taste of all that. And to go up against the defending Stanley Cup champions in the Colorado Avalanche is no easy task. So I think that the Kraken will not be released. They'll be sent back to the depths until next season. And the Avalanche, like you, Dave, I think the Avalanche take this one in six games.
Excellent, excellent. Moving on then to our second matchup, sticking in the Central Division, you have the Dallas Stars taking on the Minnesota Wild. Game one, of course, going to Minnesota in overtime. I believe it was 3-2.
Let me confirm.
I know ex-Flyer Ryan Hartman scored the OT winner.
Double overtime.
Oh, double OT. Did not watch that game.
Yeah. So we had three overtime periods combined on Monday for the first slate of games, with the Kings and Oilers going into OT, and then also the Wild and Stars going into double overtime.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Matt, what are your thoughts here on the Dallas Stars and Minnesota Wild series?
I have to give the edge to Dallas. I think Minnesota's a good team. They have, I think, did Fleury play on?
I think they started Gustafson.
Really? I didn't really watch much of that because it was a late game.
Yeah, they started Gustafson.
Gotcha.
And they're sticking with Gustafson for game two.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I like Dallas. Dallas has kind of had like a coming of age, so to speak, over the past couple years or so. Ever since they made it to the final in the bubble, is kind of where they hit their stride. And
they got a lot of young, good players.
Yeah. You got Jason Robertson. You got
Heiskanen.
Your boy Roope Hintz.
Roope Hintz, my man.
But yeah, I mean, again, just Ottinger alone as a goalie is going to be. A great goalie for many years to come. Jamie Benn has kind of come back as well. Tyler Seguin's still kind of himself, I don't know why I keep saying so to speak, but I think Dallas is a very good team. Minnesota's also a very good team as well, but I think I'm going to give Dallas the edge in this one. I think it might go seven, though. I'm going to give I'll give Dallas the winning. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I'll give Dallas this round in seven games.
I had the Dallas Stars in six. I just think at the end of the day, they have a little bit more skill than Minnesota, and I like their goaltending better than I like Minnesota's. So I have the Stars being the Wild in six there.
Gotcha. And then we move on to our next one in the West. We have the first seed in the Pacific Division. Yeah.
Yes.
Against Wild Card 2, the Vegas Golden Knights against the Winnipeg Jets. Winnipeg took game one the other night and obviously
just leads last
the
series.
Night. Yeah. I can't. It's these West Coast games kill me, man. But yeah, so I haven't watched really much of either of these teams all season. I know that Winnipeg kind of just squeezed in at the last second over the Predators. So they kind of have some good momentum going into this, and obviously they took the first game against the Knights. The biggest thing about the Knights, which is crazy, that's this is Jack Eichel's first time playing in the playoffs in his entire
career. And he was a minus three.
Yeah. So tough start for him to his playoff career. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just – I keep forgetting that Vegas also has Jonathan Quick in net.
They went with Laurent Brossoit last night. And
so, I don't know. Vegas just seems kind of like – they have that experience, but they also don't at the same time. They made it to the Cup Final their first year, but that feels like forever ago now. So it's like – and they've had their problems with roster changes and such and injuries and all that jazz. So I want to give it – I want to go Jets in six.
Okay.
And you'll see why in a couple minutes.
Yeah, I am going Jets in seven because of one reason and one reason only, Connor Hellebuck. The Vegas Golden Knights don't have any goalie currently playing for them that is the same level as Hellebuck. Hellebuck is, he might, if you go off and you're asked to pick your top two goaltenders in the entire National Hockey League right now, Hellebuck's either your one or your two. If you're a smart, rational thinking hockey fan. So I think Winnipeg wins in seven just because of the fact of their goaltending. So Vegas, you know, I'm just over Vegas. I hate their uniforms, the mustard ugly gold they wear. I hate just everything about them, how they're just smug and how they think they're going to win and how they're better than everyone already just because they have money and how they really literally recycle players. They treat them like garbage. I know they do not have a good reputation within the league. A lot of the players who leave them go on to say bad things about how they're run. So I think we're about to see the Vegans start to kind of catch a dose of their own medicine and have their comeuppance. Man, me with the vocab words tonight. and I think this is the start of the downfall of Vegas. Because they're old. They don't have a lot of prospects in their cupboard, and they might stink for a long time coming up here soon. But
Winnipeg, talking about seven. A fallout New Vegas.
Ah, very nice.
But no, yeah, I mean, I kind of agree that I think they are on definitely the downtrend as opposed to anything else over the past couple of years or so. But Dave, moving on to our next and last series in the West. The 2-3 from the Pacific Division, the Edmonton Oilers against the LA Kings.
Another rematch of a first round series from last year.
Yep, and the Kings jumped out to an early 1-0 series lead after they won in overtime. So I mean, these are two teams again. The Kings are kind of, you know, hanging in there like these past few years or so, where they're excuse me. I believe they're one of the oldest teams in the league by average age. But, you know, I mean, with age,
they got a lot younger, though. They do have a lot of young talent on that team right now.
Yeah. But the Oilers, I mean, their goal, I mean, obviously the ultimate goal is to win the Stanley Cup, but their goal is to get back to where they were last year into the conference finals for the West and, you know, hopefully make it over the hump, so to speak, into the Stanley Cup final. But I mean, I think I still have to give this series to the Oilers just because they have McDavid and Draisaitl. I mean, the guy has the first 150-point season since Mario Lemieux in the 90s, and Draisaitl, I mean, wasn't too far behind either.
No.
Their duo just combined is going to, I think, propel them at least past this second round. Again, which brings me to saying that I think the Oilers take this in – I would say six, and then they go on to the second round in the West for an all-Canadian matchup against the Winnipeg Jets.
I, too, have the Oilers winning this series, but I had them winning it in seven games, just like last year. I just think there's no way you're going to have a team with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl losing the first round of the playoffs. Even as good as LA has been this year and how their young talent's gotten them to the playoffs, I don't think they have that edge to overcome McDavid and Draisaitl just yet. So I, as well as with you, Mastro, have the an all-Canadian matchup between Winnipeg and Edmonton in the semifinal out west. So we get moving on to those matchups there in the semifinals. In our first matchup, I have the Colorado Avalanche taking on the Dallas Stars, in which I have the Colorado Avalanche winning that series also again in six games. I just think Colorado, as they heat up in the playoffs, they're going to keep on going. The engine that always can, and Nathan MacKinnon, even though they're missing Gabriel Landeskog, they're still going to keep on chugging through. And the Colorado Avalanche, third time's the charm there, will advance to the Western Conference Final.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have the Stars against the Avs in the second round here. And I think a huge factor is going to be Jake Oettinger's performance against the Colorado Avalanche. But Colorado's got a hell of a lot of firepower with Makar, MacKinnon, Rantanen, Landeskog. I mean, you name it, they have it, so to speak. So
I mean, Landeskog's not playing.
That's true. But still, I mean, even without him, they can still do damage. Yes. So, but yeah, I mean, I think the Avalanche, you know, the Stars at night are big and bright in the deep in the heart of Texas, but I think the Avalanche will just, you know, put those Stars out. And I think they take that series in, like you said, six games.
Excellent. And moving on to our other matchup, the all-Canadian matchup that we just literally teased, the Winnipeg Jets taking on the Edmonton Oilers. I have the Oilers winning this series in six games. As good as Connor Hellebuyck is, the Jets do not have the firepower to keep up with Edmonton. So you're literally going to see McDavid and Draisaitl. You know, Hellebuck's going to make this series interesting. He's going to steal a couple games from Edmonton. But at the end of the day, Edmonton's overpowering offense will get them past the Jets.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I think, again, I would love to see the same matchup we had last year in the Western Conference Final. So I have the Oilers over the Jets, I'd say seven games. And then that brings us to the Western Conference Final rematch of last season with the Colorado Avalanche taking on the Edmonton Oilers. And Dave, I'll let you go first here and tell us, I think I know, but tell us who you have from the Western Conference representing them in the Stanley Cup Final.
Colorado Avalanche, baby. The Avs, they're my West Coast team. You know, they're the team I go to watch when I'm not watching the Flyers. The Avalanche have my also favorite non-Flyer in the league in Nathan MacKinnon, followed by Cale Makar and Mikko Rantanen. I just think what's going to get the Avs over the Oilers yet again is the fact that they have a deeper team. You know, the Oilers really just have McDavid and Draisaitl, and that's all they have. I'm not sold on Stuart Skinner as a goaltender. Jack Campbell has shown us that, you know, he was really kind of all along just a fringe starting goaltender. And their defense is not very good. And I give all the X's and O's to the Avs. I mean, even in goaltending, I will still give you a tandem of Alex Georgiev and Pavel Francouz over Stuart Skinner and Jack Campbell. So Colorado in six games, just like last year, advancing to the Stanley Cup Final out of the West.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just not like last year because they swept them. But
that similar is true. Last year they swept them. I think Edmonton will get two games in this year because I think McDavid and Draisaitl are going to get a little bit extra there. Because, yeah. I mean, last year they had Mike Smith in net. I will give Stuart Skinner a pat on the back and say, you are better than Mike Smith.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think, again, yeah, Edmonton will definitely squeak in at least one or two wins just based off of that experience and having that fire under their asses just to kind of not get, I guess I won't call it embarrassed, but also embarrassed at the same time because if you make it to a conference final, you want to show that you're worthy of that. So I think, again, it's the revenge tour for them at this point, but I don't think they get through the Colorado Avalanche, and Colorado takes it in, Yeah, I think six games is also a very accurate assumption. So Colorado making it to the Stanley Cup final and representing the Western Conference final. And Dave, I think we both have different conference or different Stanley Cup finals. But
yes, we do.
With you having the Avalanche against the Big Bad Bruins, what is your prediction for your Stanley Cup final?
I can't break away my allegiance right at this moment. The Colorado Avalanche will repeat as Stanley Cup champions. They will defeat the Big Bad Bruins in seven games. This is going to be a tooth and nail series. And I literally think it's going to be literally Colorado wins game one, Boston wins game two. Colorado wins three, Boston four. See where I'm going here? It's going to be every other. It's going to be offense on offense, defense on defense. I will give Boston the edge in goaltending. But I just think even though the difference is both teams have elite level franchise talent. Colorado is younger. And they're going to have the better legs. And that's why I have the Avalanche on top of the mountain yet again. Back-to-back champs, back-to-back years. They can do it without Gabe Landeskog. Sure, they would love to have Gabe Landeskog against the series against the Bruins. But I still think, even without him, they have enough to take down the Bruins.
Yeah, I mean, I want to, you know, I want to say it ain't so. I will not go, turn the lights off, carry me home. And I think that they will be singing that once again.
I want to really give you a round of applause there, Mastro, for tying in the Blink-182 reference.
Hopefully we don't get a copyright infringement for that somehow. But
hey, I'll just show them my Blink tattoo. Everything will be fine.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, I didn't sing it, so hopefully it's okay. But anyway, I think the Colorado Avalanche also repeat as Stanley Cup champions. I think they have all the pieces to do so, even though they have lost a couple here and there over the past season. But you know, they have that experience, and I mean, so does your pick in the Bruins, and also my pick in the Rangers, where they've both been in the Stanley Cup final in the past five or so years. So I think the Rangers.
No, the last time the Rangers were in the Cup final was 2012.
That's right.
They lost to the Kings. So it's been a minute for the Rangers.
But anyway, they have experience being in the Stanley Cup final in one way or another. But no, I mean, I think it's just
Chris Kreider was on the Rangers then.
Yeah. So it's going to be, I think there's obviously a ton of storylines in this, but the main thing I think, again, to watch is obviously with the Bruins, because they have that regular season wins record. They have the President's Trophy, but also, again, their history is not really on their side because of the President's Trophy, quote unquote, curse. But, you know, I mean, we'll see. These are obviously all just educated predictions from us.
Yes.
And you know, we hope we're right, because then that makes us look good. But if we're not, then, you know, oh well, life goes on. So, but no, I think, again, all in all, I'm just excited that the Stanley Cup playoffs are here. They're back. They're in full swing. We're seeing the commercials every so often for raising the Stanley Cup. We see the old ones from the older days, which are still awesome. But we're in the real show now, and you know, it's just, again, you see how it unfolds. As much as it sucks not having a dog in the fight, it's just kind of nice to sit back and relax and, you know, just be entertained by it all.
Yes.
So, but, you know, I mean, again, it's just hopefully soon enough we have playoff hockey again at the Wells Fargo Center. But I don't see that happening for at least another 2-3 seasons.
The NHL this time of year is like Russell Crowe from The Gladiator. Are you not entertained?
Yeah, so exactly.
Like it, and the average hockey fan, you know, and for people, I always tell people this too. If you're on the fence about ice hockey, now is the time to watch the NHL because you're getting its best product. So, and I've got other friends of mine that are into hockey, you know, friends of my wife. of Brenna, who have said, hey, listen, I want to watch hockey next year. I'm going to watch the playoffs this year. You know, if I have questions, can I come to you? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Certainly. I'm happy to assist. Happy to help.
Yeah, everyone's welcome on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I mean, it's the great time of year. You know, it's nice. It's nice to be enjoying a wintertime sport when it's starting to get warmer. You know, it's always nice to be like, yes, ice hockey, and then I can go outside in a t-shirt and shorts. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, definitely. Soon enough, we'll be complaining about how hot it is, but that's for
another time. Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So, Dave, usually, I guess, as our fans know, we go around the league, but really the only around the league right now is the playoffs. There have been some things, mainly suspensions, obviously the Michael Bunting suspension, but we did touch on that. And, you know, if other things do come up over the next week or so when we record again, we'll make sure that we bring the people what they want, so to speak. But other than that, there's really just not much going on besides just playoff hockey. So, that's really all I've got for tonight. And, you know, as we usually do, I send it over to you to wrap us up and take us away.
Yes, yes. So with that, we will be back next week providing more updates on how the first round series are going. It's hard to say the plural of series because I guess it is just series, right? Mm-hmm. The plural of series is series. And I'm not talking about Siri. I'm not talking about the Apple AI on your iPhone. Not that. But we'll be back next week to keep everyone nice and tidy on the playoffs, on how they're going, if there's any notable events that come out of it, if there's any more notable events that come out of the world of ice hockey and the realm, and of course, your Philadelphia Flyers. Chuck Fletcher and interim GM Danny Briere, sounding like more and more each day the interim tag is going to get removed from him and he will just be named general manager of the hockey club, had their exit interviews this past week. A lot of stuff was said. We were not going to go into too big depth of it because a lot of it's like, you know what, we just got to wait and see what happens. So if you really want to go ahead and watch that, it's all online on social media. And I believe both interviews are in full on the Flyers YouTube page. So, recommend if you're a Flyers fan, go check those two clips out. But with that, Mash and I will be back next week. Everyone, good night, good hockey, enjoy those playoffs.